Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we are redefining denial to determine if it's complicated or just hard. Raise your hand if you've gotten stuck in a procrastination loop because to change, let go, and adopt a new behavior is just hard. So hard it feels impossible. Life doesn't have to be complicated to be hard. And reducing your options to go or don't go doesn't limit your possibilities. Varying degrees and options can sometimes provide too many hiding places for procrastination and denial. Let's lay it all out in the open and be honest with ourselves. What is preventing you from moving forward? Whether it's to obtain new skills, build stronger relationships, better your situation, or just open yourself up to what life has in store for you. You know how sometimes it feels like putting things off or pretending a problem isn't there is just easier? It's because facing a challenge head-on can be scary or uncomfortable. Procrastination gives us a break from the stress or discomfort, even though it often makes things more stressful later on. Denial is similar. It lets us avoid admitting hard truths about ourselves or our situations, which can protect our egos. In the short term, both procrastination and denial can help us deal with tough emotions or situations, but in the long run, they can hold us back from growing and being truly well. Maybe it's the talk you need to have, or the habit you need to address, or that chore you need to do. None of it sounds fun. It just sounds hard. So you know what they say, out of sight, out of mind, push it back until we feel like doing it. Newsflash, it's hard, so you will never feel like doing it. Is it important? Is it good for you? Is it good for the other person if there is one? Then get out of your own way and stop self-sabotaging your progress. Michael Landon said, "Whatever you want to do, do it now. There are only so many tomorrows." I love reading about history, even historical fiction, because the time is accurate even if the characters are fictitious. I love looking back in time because it reminds me of how far we've come. For instance, if my microwave goes out and I have to warm something the old-fashioned way, well then I like to remember a simpler time when they first had to make a fire by hand to even start their day. You get my gist. So let's start off putting things in perspective. Serena Visegi is a guy with cerebral palsy who loves his life. He uses a wheelchair. He has little control over his muscles and needs help with almost everything. But that's not the end of his story. On his blog, he addresses, is it hard or is it challenging? Serena says, "My disability provides many minute-to-minute challenges in my life. There are some activities I can't do without help. There are some activities that take me more energy. There are some activities that take more time and more money. I always felt awkward calling my life hard. I have amazing people in my life. I grew up and live in a bustling part of California. I have never experienced hunger, abuse, rejection, and other hardships in my life." The word hard implies that something is complicated, cumbersome, and limiting. The word challenge has a slightly different connotation. It means something that you can take on, something that has more of a path, something that has a reward at the end. So often, human beings mistake hard with challenging. When you assume something is hard, you assume that it will stop you. When you assume that something is challenging, it's easier to take on. In our daily lives, we have to perform activities that we just don't want to do. One way to accomplish these activities is looking at them as challenges rather than something that is hard. A common example is calling customer service. Many view calling customer service as hard. This suggests that it's going to be an arduous, unpleasant situation. We assume that we're going to be left on hold, encounter the rudest person on the other end, and when we hang up, we won't have resolved our issue. Although this happens from time to time, most of the time it's not that bad. It's just a challenge that we have to take on, but it's probably not the hardest thing that we have to do today. Part of the reason we think something is hard is that it can be emotional. Your emotions can make you believe that something is more challenging than it really is. When we attach the word hard to it, we make it more challenging. I could easily have that narrative that it is hard to deal with my disability. You could have that narrative that going to the gym, reading a book, or having a tough conversation is hard. However, if you have the narrative that things are just a part of your amazing journey, then you can take the emotion out of the situation and make your life easier. If you're in a less than ideal situation, you're probably spending more time and energy dealing with your situation than actually making your situation better. If you focus your energy on making the situation better, eventually you will have to use less energy dealing with it. If you're arguing with your spouse all the time, you're spending energy fighting. If you take that same energy to fix the issues, it might feel challenging. However, after a while, you're not spending all your energy fighting. Life becomes hard rather than challenging when people constantly have to put out fires they started instead of preventing fires. If a parent did not set boundaries early or an entrepreneur did not properly set the foundation of the business, then they built something on a faulty foundation. At some point, there may be fissures in this foundation. This can make life hard rather than challenging. We often lump negative emotions in with the idea of hard. Part of the reason we don't pursue the right path or make the right decisions is that we don't want to experience the negative emotions coupled with the decision. When you go after your goals, it's likely that you will experience fear, anxiety, being uncomfortable, and other negative emotions. These emotions are just natural, and most people experience them. Dealing with these emotions is challenging. However, having to deal with these emotions should not be confused with being labeled as hard. Being uncomfortable and other emotions are just a natural part of any journey of success. If you categorize these emotions as being hard, you diminish your chances of actually pursuing success. Every day, my challenges are physically taxing. Some activities take up to 10 times more physical effort than others. Talking, using the restroom, getting in and out of my chair are all examples of activities that zap energy. However, I just accept it and understand it's just something I have to do. Sometimes the emotional part of my disability is equally or more taxing than my physical challenge. Constantly asking for help, knowing that I exhaust others in my life, being embarrassed and wondering what my disability took are all examples of emotional challenges that I have to face. One reason I feel awkward about using the word hard is I like to reserve that word for people who are dealing with stuff that is not even on my radar. Losing a child, dealing with abuse, and being in a war zone are reserved for the word hard. When I use the word hard, and I do sometimes slip up, I feel that I'm not respecting the struggles of others. We can argue about the semantics. However, when you use the word hard instead of challenging, you are admitting defeat. I tend to have a very black and white way of thinking. Now, I'm not speaking of color here, but an all or nothing mentality. It's either this or that. If I were to define this, then negative or all or nothing thinking is a cognitive distortion where a person sees things in extremes without recognizing the middle ground or the nuances of a situation. This type of thinking can lead to feelings of hopelessness, anxiety, or depression. However, on the flip side, there are also positive aspects of this type of thinking. For instance, clarity and quick decision-making. Sometimes when you're in a situation where you need to act fast, seeing things as black or white can help you make a clear decision. For example, if you're in danger, identifying that this is a threat can push you to take action to stay safe. It can also give you extra motivation. All or nothing thinking can give you a big push to work hard. If you believe that success is the only option, you might be more likely to keep going and push through challenges. Go or don't go. If you give yourself too many options in between, then you may never take action. It can also help in setting high standards. Wanting to be the best and aiming for excellence can be good things about all or nothing thinking, as long as you don't fall into the trap of perfectionism or expecting too much of yourself. It can also help you simplify things. Sometimes seeing things as either one way or another can make complex situations easier to understand. It's important to remember, though, that this can also mean missing out on important details. So, catch yourself from time to time and keep your mind open to other ways of looking at any situation. Caitlin Vogel provides some strategies as she asks, feeling stuck, how to remove those roadblocks found on Psych Central. If you're running on autopilot or going through the motions, there are ways you can get emotionally stuck. Everyone feels stuck in life at some point, maybe from an unstimulating job or an unfulfilling relationship or just a general sense of indifference. But you can stop feeling stuck by figuring out why you're feeling that way in the first place, and then making a few changes to improve your mental, physical, and emotional well-being. So here's a question. Why do you feel stuck in life? Identifying the root cause of your feelings can help you narrow down your strategies to regain your sense of purpose and forward momentum. Here are 9 common reasons why you might be feeling emotionally and mentally stuck right now. See if any of these resonate. Cognitive overload, overwhelm, and burnout. Yes, please. Difficult times or life's challenges can have you feeling like you've lost your sense of direction. From not getting enough rest to facing burnout can make you feel stuck and unsure where to turn. Unconscious self-limitation and self-sabotage. Self-limitation and self-sabotage are often the results of looking for a way out. Whether it's a career or a relationship you're unhappy with, you may unconsciously engage in self-sabotaging behavior. You may also live with something called imposter syndrome, where you doubt your self-worth and capabilities. Unmanaged mental health conditions. When you live with mental health conditions like depression or anxiety, they may add to your feelings of being stuck. But when you manage these conditions, because yes, they can be managed, you can regain your motivation and sense of purpose. We all experience mental health symptoms at various points in our lives because we're human and we have mental health just like we have physical health. Transcend shame and stigma and seek the support you need and deserve. Limited vision. What's your why? This is the reason you have to follow through when faced with obstacles. Without forging our own path, we end up going with life's current, which may lead us to getting stuck. We need to empower ourselves to pick up our oars and map our greatest path. You may be focusing on your day-to-day, which in some cases is a great way to manage stress. Yet perspective is what may help you choose your path. Not establishing clear goals for your personal and professional life may leave you feeling stuck. Lack of adequate support and resources. If you're feeling lonely or your finances have taken a hit, this could explain why you feel stuck in life. You may find it helpful to turn to others during challenging times. Just the notion that you can do this, even if you don't always, may be a relief. Perfectionism and fear of uncertainty. Spending too much time and energy on every little detail in order to do something perfectly may just slow down your progress. This can also make you feel frustrated or like you're not getting anywhere in life. To get unstuck, you may want to leave perfectionism behind. Emotional conflict between the desires of self and others. It's natural to feel conflicted between what you want your life to be and what others feel like it should be. But hesitating between one and the other may impede your personal growth and lead to feeling empty. Sometimes undue guilt or excessive concern about someone else's opinion of how we should live our lives keeps us from living authentically and leads to feeling stuck. We need to live our lives for ourselves, not for others. Resistance to change. Carl Jung once said, "What you resist persists." In other words, failing to embrace change might keep you feeling mentally stuck. Sometimes we dig our heels in and refuse to accept change, loss, or transition. If you're spending your energy on fighting what's new, you may have a difficult time moving forward. Lack of a deeper sense of meaning or purpose. Having a sense of purpose is crucial. When you don't, you lose it. You may experience an existential crisis. One of the signs of this feeling in your life is stuck. Deeper meaning and purpose can serve as a compass for your life. The passion you have for this purpose will motivate you out of stuckness. To get you moving in the right direction, here are 10 techniques if you're feeling stuck. Become aware. A good starting point is awareness. Consider examining how your unconscious may be contributing to you feeling stuck. Some ways to be more aware include identifying defense mechanisms and cognitive distortions that are getting in your way. Notice default relationship patterns that cause you to recreate familiar cycles. Boy, we've all had those. While you can do some work on your own, it can be a lot. Consider finding a therapist to support you and help you tackle challenges. Take responsibility. It's natural to fall into the blame game from time to time, but blaming others for things that happen or don't happen may lead you to feeling like you've given up all control of your life and choices. You can take an honest inventory and find ways to practice forgiveness for yourself and others. Cultivate presence. It often feels like we're being told to do more instead of be more. When we follow this, we often start functioning on autopilot. You can switch off autopilot by practicing mindfulness techniques to help you reroute your thinking from ruminating on the past or worrying about the future to becoming rooted in the here and now. It may also help to take a step back and make decisions from a place of calm and clarity rather than amid busyness and chaos. Detach from unrealistic expectations. If you have a tendency toward perfectionism, imposter syndrome, or a fear of failure, you may want to think of how this is getting in your way. Again, it can help to work through this with a therapist, but you can also start by reminding yourself of realistic and manageable expectations. And remember, life is not perfect. Choose self-love. You can invest in yourself by practicing self-love. You might want to start by silencing your inner saboteur. Try choosing to be your own best friend rather than your worst critic. When you love yourself and practice self-compassion and self-care, it can help replenish your energy and motivation. Create a vision. There are many ways to develop a vision for what you want your life to look like. You can try writing out a personal manifesto, for example. It may also help to establish professional goals and set an action plan with measurable steps. Living with intention and visualizing what success means to you may help you positively leverage the power of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Request support. Your support network is an important aspect of your well-being. Maybe you can revisit old friendships or establish new ones. Whatever it looks like, you can ask for the support you need and deserve. Practice healthy detachment. It may be time to reassess how you feel about your current relationship, job, or even yourself. What are the aspects that make you feel stuck? Is change possible? What would happen if you let go of the negative thoughts surrounding where you feel stuck? By identifying your thoughts and feelings in the moment, you can develop a healthy detachment rather than being overrun with them. Cultivate inner strength. Consider cultivating a mind that views setbacks, mistakes, and feeling stuck as important parts of learning. Turning these setbacks into opportunities may help you bounce back, and when you work on more strategies, that can help you feel unstuck. I heard this poem on social media that really describes my thoughts to a T. Get started, do some of the work, and then ask for help. Don't wait to be rescued. If you only have 20% in the tank, give 100% of the effort you have available. You do some, and then ask for help. I re-recorded this with some images just to tell a visual story. I'll have that posted in the show notes, but take a listen. This is Holes by Scott Wilson. I had been in that hole for a very long time, in the dark and the damp, in the cold and the slime. The shaft was above me. I could see it quite clear, but there's no way I could ever reach it from here. Nor could I remember the world way up there. So I lost all my hope and I gave in to despair. I knew nothing but darkness, the floors and the walls. Then off in the distance, I heard someone call, "Get up! Get ready. There's nothing the matter. Take rocks and old sticks and build up a fine ladder." This had never occurred to me, had not crossed my mind, but I started to stack all the stones I could find. When I ran out of stones, then old sticks were my goal. For one way or another, I'd get out of this hole. So as soon as I had a ladder that was sturdy and tall, and I thought, I'll soon leave this place once and for all. I climbed up my ladder. It was no easy chore, for from lifting those boulders, my shoulders were sore. I climbed up my ladder, but soon had to stop, for my ladder stopped short, some 10 feet from the top. I climbed back down my ladder and started to cry. I'd done all I could do. I gave my best try. And in spite of my work, in this hole I must die. And all I could do was sit and think, why? Was my ladder too short or my hole much too deep? Then from way up on high came a voice, "Do not weep." And the faith, hope, and love entered my chest as the voice said to me that I'd done my best. He said, "You've worked hard, your labor's been rough, but the ladder you've built is at last tall enough. Do not despair, you have reason to hope. Just climb up your ladder and I'll throw down my rope." I climbed up the ladder, then climbed up the cord. When I got to the top, there stood the Lord. I couldn't be happier. My struggle was done. I blinked in the brightness that came from the sun. I fell to the ground. His feet did I kiss. I cried, "What can I do to repay thee for this?" Then he looked all around him. There were holes in the ground. They had people inside and were seen all around. There were thousands of holes that were damp, dark, and deep. Then the Lord turned to me and he said, "Feed my sheep." Then he went on his way to help other lost souls, and I got right down to work, crawling down to the holes. Get up, get ready. There's nothing the matter. Take rocks and old sticks and build up a fine ladder. It was now my turn to spread the good word, the most glorious message that man ever heard, that there is one who is willing to save one and all, and we've got to be ready when he gives the call. He'll pull us out of the hole that we're in and save all our souls from death and from sin. So don't lose faith. There is reason to hope. Just build up your ladder. He'll throw down his rope. Heidi Goodman shares more on denial, how it hurts, how it helps, and how to cope, found on Harvard Health. At some point in life, everyone experiences denial, a natural response when you're unwilling or unable to face the facts. Denial is not always a bad thing, but it might be easier to recognize in others than in yourself. It's hard to look at your own life and take a good inventory of what's going on. It takes a lot of work. This comes from Jonathan Scholl, a therapist and clinical social worker at Harvard-affiliated McLean Hospital. Here's a little insight about denial, how to spot it in yourself and others, and what you might want to do about it. In psychological terms, denial is a defense mechanism, a skillful tool the mind can employ when things get tough. I see it as a protective barrier we have that we might or might not be aware of, Scholl says. It keeps us safe. It also keeps us from looking at ourselves or addressing something around us and making a change. You can be in denial about something you're not ready to admit or take on, or something that challenges deeply held beliefs. Common triggers for denial can involve abuse, mental, emotional, physical, verbal, sexual, financial, or other, alcohol in excess, or substance abuse, or substance use disorder, lifestyle or family issues, medical diagnosis, mental health issues, politics, smoking, unhealthy weight gain. Denial can shield us from difficult emotions. Scholl says that might be helpful in the short term and provide relief to people who don't have the bandwidth or ability to face a problem. For example, maybe someone is unhappy in a relationship, but the thought of being alone is worse than the thought of being together. Or perhaps someone is burnt out or overwhelmed and lacks the energy or emotional capability of accepting what's happening. Part of the person feels it's easier not to think about the situation and lets it go because it feels like it's too much to handle right now. In dangerous or unhealthy situations, denial can hurt us. For example, keeping our eyes shut about the realities of a physical or mental illness can lead to serious health consequences. We see a lot of teens with depression and substance use disorders, and some parents deny there are problems because they're afraid of what it means for the child. It comes from a place of worry, said Scholl. But denying problems can hurt children and block them from making meaningful change. Denial can also hurt when it involves addiction or abuse. Those problems affect everyone in a family and can lead to unhealthy patterns that get passed down from one generation to the next. People in denial often exhibit certain behaviors. For example, they might minimize or justify problems, issues, or unhealthy behaviors. They might avoid thinking about problems. They avoid taking responsibility for unhealthy behaviors, or they blame them on someone else. And they might refuse to talk about certain issues and get defensive when the subjects are brought up. Dealing with denial means first recognizing that it's occurring, which can be a challenge for anyone, and then addressing the underlying issues that's causing it. If you recognize denial in yourself, Scholl advises that you reach out for help. Talk to someone close to you or get an outside opinion from a therapist, a spiritual counselor, your doctor, or a hotline number, such as the National Domestic Violence Hotline, if you're experiencing intimate partner violence. For addiction problems, make that first call to a substance abuse disorder hotline or recovery center, or try attending just one meeting of a 12-step program. In time, you can learn to face your fears or concerns and develop a concrete plan to change. If you recognize denial in others and you'd like to point it out, tread very carefully. Seek guidance from experts before taking on a situation that could be dangerous to you or the other person. If the situation is not dangerous, be as compassionate as possible. Have a warm and empathetic conversation in an environment without distractions. Express your love and point out what you're seeing. Talk about how it affects you, and then give it time. You can't force anyone to change. All you can do is plant a seed. When life feels particularly challenging, it can be tough to navigate through the difficulties. So let's remind ourselves of some strategies that can help you over the hump. Number one, seek support. Reach out to friends and families or a therapist for emotional support. Talking about your feelings can help you feel less alone. Support groups are fantastic, and you can find one for whatever you want to talk about. It really can help to open up in a group of people that understand what you're going through. Number two, practice self-care. Take care of your physical and emotional well-being. Get enough sleep, eat healthy, exercise, and engage in activities that bring you joy. Don't let yourself stay in a rut. You don't have to be there, and you don't have to be there alone. Reach out to a person, go for a walk, talk about something else. Number three, break tasks into smaller steps. If you're feeling overwhelmed, break tasks into smaller, more manageable steps. Focus on completing one step at a time. If you don't have a lot in the tank today, do one thing, just one thing that will move you towards your goal. Number four, set realistic expectations. Be gentle with yourself. It's okay not to be perfect or to need help. When we set ourselves up and we're disappointed, it's because of our own expectations and nothing else. Temper it. Open yourself up to be pleasantly surprised. Number five, focus on what you can control. Identify aspects of the situation that you can control and focus your energy there. Let go of things that are beyond your control. Sounds easy, of course it's not. But look at the situation and say to yourself, is this in my control? If I'm not involved in this situation, how will it turn out? Can I stand back and support from afar? Number six, practice mindfulness or meditation. These practices can help you stay present and reduce stress and anxiety. You don't have to do something profound here. This means unplug. Take time to think. Where's your best location? I like thinking in the shower. Some people like going to lay in the grass, looking up at the sky, a walk in the woods, whatever that looks like. Don't take the earbuds. Don't turn on the music or the podcast. Just spend some time with yourself. Number seven, find meaning. Reflect on the situation and try to find meaning or lessons that can be learned from it. This can help you see the situation in a more positive light. There is learning to be had in even the most difficult situation. Try to get a better vantage point. As I've always said, up high, looking down, hindsight kind of direction. Try to find out, even though it was a struggle, it was a tragedy in many cases, what can I take away? What kind of tool can I pull out of the wreckage and stick in my toolbox? Number eight, engage in activities that bring you comfort. Whether it's reading, listening to music, or spending time in nature, engaging in activities that bring you comfort can help you cope with difficult times. A change of scenery in a difficult situation is always a good thing, whether that's just getting up and taking a quick, brisk walk, or it's really taking a time out. Number 9, seek professional help. If you're struggling to cope, consider seeking help from a therapist or a counselor. They can provide you with tools and strategies to better manage your emotions and stress. And number 10, stay connected. Stay connected with others, even if it's just a brief phone call or text. Social support can be incredibly valuable during tough times. Don't retreat into your own shell, thinking that no one cares. It's not true. But your friends aren't mind readers. They're not going to always know that you're struggling. So reach out. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they're not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit Encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, put things in perspective. Is it complicated or just hard? Finding a balance between negative and positive thinking involves recognizing and challenging extreme thoughts, considering alternative perspectives, and acknowledging both the challenges and the strengths in any situation. It's time to take action, and I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you, and how I wound up here.